Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. I hope you enjoyed that study in the previous half hour by Pastor Lutz, talking about the mystery of iniquity. And the key there, too, is it's already working in the world. And the devil knows his time is short. You look at what's happening in the world around us, and truly our time is short. The Lord's returning for us soon. I hope you're ready, and you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior if you want to be ready. And we're looking forward to being caught up. Somebody, they used to say, looking forward to the upper taker rather than the undertaker, and a reference to the rapture. But we may touch on that a little bit more as we go on, but I had something else I wanted to look at here today as well, and I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. And of course, Pastor Rusnacko will be following us at 2 o'clock, and always a good message, always a blessing to hear Pastor Rusnacko. And so they sandwiched me in the middle of these two good guys, so I appreciate being here. Oh, and I appreciate you being here as well. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We do pray you bless the program this afternoon. Use us for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to believers. Help us to encourage them in their walk with you. And also help us to point those that are searching to Christ, that they might come to know Christ as their Savior as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Of course, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find links to a variety of things that we have there. I wanted to mention something that I just put up there from our Sunday night program. I have an audio piece that's linked there dealing with Russia, the Ukraine, and Ezekiel chapter 38. A lot of people have been wondering about that, and I hope you might find that a little interesting. I was thinking about it. I'm not going to go through all that right now, but just to give you a little taste, we were talking about it last week at our Friday night Bible study. And just a reminder, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We have a Bible study every Friday night at 7 to 9. You're more than welcome to come. And then, of course, our regular services on Sunday. We'll have all that information here at the bottom of the hour. And I hope you'll, or at the top of the hour, I guess I should say, at 2 o'clock at the close of the program, just before 2. And we meet, of course, at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And while I'm on that, I do want to mention that we are meeting in the breakfast area tonight. So if you come out tonight, we're in the breakfast area. There's a group that has preempted us from the meeting room that we're normally in. They've also preempted us on Sunday, so we'll be in the upper room. We'll be, I believe, in the third floor suite right above the breakfast area. You can ask at the desk when you come in on Sunday. So hope you'll check us out. And again, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. We've got some various things there. And as I started to say, I have an audio bit that I separated out from our program last Sunday night. We're on every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight, hour-long program. And we were talking about Russia and Ukraine and the situation going on there. And the speculation, and again, purely speculation. I don't have any inside information other than what the Bible has to say. But Russia has been moving a lot of troops. I recently read that it's one of the largest maritime exercises that they have done in terms of movement of troops into the Mediterranean. And simultaneously now I found out since last Sunday that they are also planning for some major exercises, military exercises in Syria. They maintain some large base in Syria. And their air forces and the naval forces, there's a port that they control, and they're going to be conducting this large exercise. And speculation, since Ezekiel chapter 38 talks about Russia, I believe it's Russia, Gog and Magog, and along with Meshach and Tubal and some other nations invading the Middle East, coming after Israel. And what better way to get all of these naval, air, and armed forces into the Middle East, into Syria, just on the northern edge of Israel, than the excuse of building up for operations in the Ukraine. And if you listen to the program, just to go onto our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You'll see that Russia, Ukraine, and Ezekiel 38. Could it be that Russia is diverting? Putin was a KGB colonel. He's not dumb. He's a master of diversion. Maybe he's diverting the world's attention to the Ukraine, when the real goal is down in Israel, like in Ezekiel chapter 38. Something to consider. Hope you'll take a listen to that. Go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. Well, we're going to talk about a couple other things here today as well, that looking at this past week. And if you want to weigh in, I know we only have a short program here on Friday afternoons, but our number here is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, maybe something we were talking about, we'll gladly take your call here this afternoon. But I also wanted to share something else that I found, and this made me think about a passage in the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John, starting in verse number 18, or I'm sorry, I better give you the chapter there. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting in verse number 18, Jesus says this: "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And he goes on talking about some other things there in relation to that. But just looking at that portion there where he says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And I was put in mind of this by several things going on, and I saw this National Terrorism Advisory System bulletin that was just put out on February 7th from the Department of Homeland Security. And I have some of this linked onto some of our social media. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can find links to our social media there. And I was talking about this last Friday night at our Bible study, and we may touch on this a little bit more tonight again. But this is a terrorist threat assessment that was put out by the Department of Homeland Security. As I said, it's a National Terrorism Advisory System bulletin. This is not somebody's thoughts or whatever, you know, about what the government's doing. This is actually coming out. Your tax dollars paid for this. Department of Homeland Security puts these terrorism bulletins out periodically. And this is just the summary says, the United States remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of dis, and malinformation, which they shortened to MDM, introduced and or amplified by foreign and domestic threat actors. These threat actors seek to exacerbate social or societal friction, to sow discord and undermine public trust in government institutions, to encourage unrest, which could potentially inspire acts of violence. Mass casualty attacks and other acts of targeted violence conducted by lone offenders and small groups acting in furtherance of ideological beliefs and or personal grievances pose an ongoing threat to the nation. While the conditions underlying the heightened threat landscape have not significantly changed over the last year, the convergence of the following factors has increased the volatility, unpredictability, and complexity of the threat environment. Number one, the proliferation of false or misleading narratives, which sow discord or undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions. And number two, continued calls for violence directed at U.S. critical infrastructure, soft targets, and mass gatherings, faith-based institutions such as churches, synagogues, and mosques, institutions of higher education, racial and religious minorities, government facilities and personnel, including law enforcement and the military, the media, and perceived ideological opponents. And number three, calls by foreign terrorist organizations for attacks on the United States based on recent events. And goes on to say that this is issued February 7th, expires June 7th. So it's supposed to be in effect. And one of the things they say is a key factor to contributing to the current heightened threat environment include the proliferation of false or misleading narratives, which sow discord and undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions. And I find this interesting because as you really read through this, and there's more to it, it's about three pages, I believe, in length. And as you read through it and you look at what they're doing, and then talking about how they're responding, the Department of Homeland Security, and what we're supposed to do, and of course, we're supposed to report if we see anything, any purveyors of dis and malinformation, false misleading narratives, conspiracy theories. I'm going to have to remind Pastor Lutz, he was talking about the mystery of iniquity a little bit earlier on. He might be suspect there. No, just joking, Pastor Lutz there. But I've talked about the same things. But using that as an example, though, this is the kind of thing that the government is starting to look at. And you say, but wait a minute. Wait a minute, don't we have in the United States Constitution a Bill of Rights? Isn't there a Bill of Rights that's supposed to guarantee free speech? Well, yeah, last I checked, and I'm just checking right now, I have a copy of the Constitution in front of me, and the First Amendment to the United States Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. So yes, it is in the Constitution, right there in the Bill of Rights. Now, why are they starting to talk about this idea of people who share false or misleading narratives? Well, what's a mis... I mean, we can understand a false narrative. Somebody says something that's just plain wrong. But under free speech, aren't we allowed to say stuff? In the free marketplace of ideas, how about, okay, you say, well, I don't like false information. Well, how about misleading? What's misleading mean? Well, when you look at, again, as I read there in John chapter 15, where he said in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were in the world, verse 19, if you were in the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You have to remember, the world system hates us. This is why over in England right now, there's a doctor. He was with the National Institute of Health or Health System. He's been there for quite a number of years, and he was found guilty, basically, of referring to transgendered individuals by the gender that they preferred to be called. Instead, he went with their biological gender. And just as a quick aside here, you can call yourself whatever you want to. And you can believe it all you want to, but it doesn't make it so. Your genetic makeup is either you have the XX chromosome, which makes you biologically female, or you have the XY chromosome complement, which makes you biologically male. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what your experience is. That's just simply a biological fact. Well, this doctor refuse to kowtow to these people and basically contribute to allowing these people to have a false sense of reality, which is what it is. It's called gender dysphoria. You can look it up. It's a mental illness. It's no different than if I called myself Napoleon or something like that. It's a mental disability or illness. And rather than encourage people in their mental illness, we ought to be helping people. But here's the thing. This doctor actually happens to be a Christian, and the court ruled basically that his Christian faith, his beliefs, was not compatible with modern democracy. Why? Well, because it says things that they don't like, because he believes things that Jesus taught, that Jesus and Jesus is not liked, and the world hates Jesus, the world system hates Jesus, and so don't be surprised when the world system hates you. And thankfully, we do still have the Bill of Rights in our country, and the Bill of Rights is important, because without the protections that we see there, the right that we have could easily be taken away from us. Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, "In those wretched countries where man cannot call his tongue his own, he can scarce call anything his own. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech, a thing terrible to public traitors." And there's other things that we could share on this. Let me give you another one here. More recently, William O. Douglas said, "Restriction of free thought and free speech is the most dangerous of all subversions. It is the one un-American act that could most easily defeat us." And this is what we see. It's not the airing of myth, as they call it, mis, dis, and malinformation online or on the air or in public, the public arena. In the public arena where it can be debated, people can show that it's wrong and show why it's wrong or counter what they believe to be incorrect information. But instead, this repression of dissent that we see, this description of people who do not agree with what the government says as criminals. You know, this is what dictators and tyrants have used down through the ages. This is what false religions use to keep people from the knowledge of the truth of God's word. This is why, if you look closely at the First Amendment of the Constitution, where it says Congress shall make no law respecting established religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, there's not a period there. There's a semicolon or bridging the freedom of speech, because if you don't have free speech, you cannot promote what you believe and challenge what may be the accepted belief of the accepted government religious system is. And so the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the freedom of the right of people peaceably to assemble, and the freedom of petition the government for redress of grievances are all part of the same sentence. They underlie the freedom of religion. They support it. Without freedom of religion, you don't have those things. Without those things, you don't have freedom of religion. They all go together. The world hates the message of the gospel, and so the world seeks to repress it by taking away your freedom of speech. And here in the United States, we're coming dangerously close with this latest national terrorism advisory system to repressing speech that people don't like. Let me correct that, to repressing speech, criminalizing speech that the government doesn't like. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry calling in. And Terry, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Pastor Al.
Well, good afternoon. How are things going up there in Canada?
Well, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I see they're trying to break up the truckers' convoy now.
Yeah, they're threatening to close down their bank accounts if they don't move on, eh?
Yes. I saw that it wasn't it that yesterday a number of banks closed because they were fearing, I guess, a lot of people running on the banks or something, but.
Yeah, trying to get money to keep it going, eh? But
yeah,
they're threatening to close them down if they don't move on. So that.
Well. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what's going on there. And and then the borders, they had to they threatened to charge them $100,000 up to a year in jail if they didn't move on from the Ambassador Bridge.
Yes. And that's, of course, the bridge between Windsor, Canada, and Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, and they got that cleaned up right now. So, and so they didn't really give them much of an option. The police cleaned it all up.
Yeah.
And so Trudeau's getting his way.
Yes, but it has sparked a lot of similar protests around the world. The main media sources are trying to cover it up, and when they touch on it, they try to, you know, sort of put it down as malcontents and conspiracy kooks but there's a lot of these happening around the world now.
Yeah. And and then there's some provinces that are opening up. Everything's back to normal.
Yeah, so they're having some success, so appreciate what they're doing.
Yep. So, and apparently Ontario is going to allow all the restaurants to open up at full capacity, and the gyms and all that, so that's a good thing.
I saw a number of provinces, the Maritime provinces, the Western provinces, even Quebec, are all challenging, I guess, the Prime Minister's emergency declaration.
Yeah,
no. So, well, certainly praying for you guys up there. We just got a few minutes left in the program, so.
One thing that I was going to call in, something you mentioned, I thought I was going to wait until Friday, until Sunday, but you brought up about taxes, and a lot of people, in your conversation, and a lot of people, when they give to give, they give taxes to give, right? To get, to receive from the government. A tax receipt, like they give to get a tax receipt.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, you do. You get at least in our system here, we get certain things we can make deductions for. Like if you make a charitable contribution, you can reduce your tax bill on the basis of your charitable contribution, which is where a lot of people will give certain things toward the end of the year to try and reduce their tax load.
Well, the problem I've had, and I've mentioned this to several pastors, if you give into the church and you get a tax receipt, right? Somebody in the church is going to know who's giving.
Well, that is a thing that comes up because somebody has to count the money and make the deposit, and if somebody writes a check. Certainly, or if they fill out one of those envelopes, a lot of churches have that have people's name on it and what they're given to.
Well, the problem with that is that, I believe that some people are favored more in the church because of that. Because it says, let not the left hand know what the right hand's doing.
Yeah, and also the other thing, it's human nature. If you think about it, on Sunday nights, I've been preaching through Proverbs at our church, and it's kind of interesting in Proverbs 19, and I'll have to watch the time here because we're quickly running out. He says in verse 4, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. And so when you think about that, and there's other passage that talks about the gift, opens door or implying that gifts open doors for you and things. I'm sorry, I don't have time to get to all that right now. But this point, though, wealth maketh many friends. And that's human nature. And it's something that does have to be fought. In fact, the Bible warns against having respect for those, that they're wealthy in the church versus those that are poor. We're supposed to look at everybody equally in the church. But a lot of things that happen in the church is a constant battle against human nature, isn't it?
So. Maybe we can talk more about this on Sunday.
Well, that's good because we got about less than 10 seconds. But thank you for the call, Terry. I want to thank everybody for listening. Keep praying for our country. Pray for Canada's situation there. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.